Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter number 30. Psalm chapter number 30. We're going to read the first five verses of that chapter tonight. Psalm chapter number 30. I'll read verse number 1 if you'll join me on the even numbered verses of Psalm chapter number 30. Stand, please. And I'll begin there at verse number 1. Join me on the even numbered verses. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for, Lord, all that we're able to enjoy throughout the day and even throughout this service so far. But Lord, by far the most important part of the day and the greatest part of the day is the preaching of your word. And ask, Lord, that you please just help us as your word is preached. Ask that you please just speak to our hearts, do a work in us. And be with the special music, prepare it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Satan tries to tempt us in every way, by saying we can sin just a little each day. The book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 2, tells me when his lying days are through. And we win, we win, hallelujah, we win. The back of the book, and we win, we win, we win, hallelujah, we win. I read the back of the book, and we win. While reading chapter 7, verses 9 through 17, I came across something that I'd never seen. I knew I'd never hunger, but I didn't realize that one day God would wipe the tears from my eyes. And we win, we win, hallelujah, we win. I read the back of the book and we win, we win, we win, hallelujah, we win. I read the back of the book and we win.
Christian love and wonder what the future will hold. In the book of
enjoyed that too much, that one part of that song, don't you? Amen. All right, thank you very much. Good singing. Enjoyed that tonight. Okay, well, amen. Verse number 5 is my text verse tonight, and just the reading of it kind of elicited a response from God's people where David wrote, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Amen. I want to speak tonight on under, over, and in. Under, over, and I'm not talking about gambling, okay? Under, over, and in. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful tonight that we know we win. We have read the back of the book, and when all this is over and ends, Father, we're on the winning side. All because of the Lord Jesus, and we do rejoice in that. There's a lot to go through between now and then, possibly. Help us, I pray, to be locked in, dedicated to you, and sold out and committed to living for you. Help me tonight as I preach your word. I sense, Lord, there's a real mellowing tonight, all day today. It's been a long stretch and a tough run, and folks have been busy. And Thank you for what you did for us Friday, Saturday. I know, Lord, there's a lot of effort put into it and tired folk here tonight. So I just pray you help me to be a blessing. Use your scripture to encourage us, bless us in Christ's name. Amen. Music was a huge part of the nation of Israel's culture. It's a huge part of our culture. If you're a child of God and you're not constantly or consistently listening to good Christian music, you're missing out on one of the great enjoyments of the Christian life. They sang at worship and many other occasions as well. Psalm 30 was sung at the dedication of the house of David, not the temple, but the house of David. This was his own personal dwelling. You remember how badly he wanted to build a place for God, a permanent building for the Lord to dwell in. But God said, no, you've got your house now, and I appreciate your desire and your want to, but Solomon is going to build that. And so this song was sung. It says, if you have your little brief thing there about the psalm at the beginning, at the dedication of the house of David, okay, the one that he built, his own personal dwelling place. So David is rejoicing. And at the very start of the song, he remembers the difficulties of the past. Look at verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. And God knows he had a bunch of them, a bunch of foes. And he remembers the times when he cried out to God. Verse number 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. And I believe that crying was real. It was either with tears or it was in earnestness and intensity, a fervency there. He remembers how God delivered him. Verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. When we read that, when Brother Mick read that verse a moment ago, I thought to myself, I should really do a little study on that. David mentions the pit a lot. The pit. I wonder what he's talking about there. The pit. I'm just thinking out loud to you right now. But he does mention it a lot. And he says in verse 3, and you hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. And then he remembers the times that he had failed God and had even invoked God's wrath. The beginning of verse number 5, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. And then he makes an incredible statement about life for a person who knows God and who walks with God. He said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, it is obvious that the weeping here is because of sorrow. The weeping he's talking about here is because of difficulty. It's because of loneliness, because of trouble. The type of weeping he's preaching about or writing about here is not the kind that is the result of joy. Probably everybody in this room has shed some tears as a result of joy. Some tremendous joyful event took place in your life and emotion overwhelmed us to the point where the tears came down our cheeks. And we've all seen that. We've all been a part of that, the weeping that happens as a result of joy. But that's not what he's talking about here in verse 5. He's talking about weeping that's because of sorrow. In fact, I did a little research. I went ahead and looked at, okay, what's the first mention of the word weep in the Bible? Because first mention is an important law of Bible study. It gives you the direction that the term is used for most of the Word of God. And the first time the word weep is mentioned is in Genesis 23 and verse number 2. And it's very interesting. Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. So the first mention of the word weep has to do with death. Death. And he wept for her. Second mention of the word weep is in Genesis 43 and verse number 30. Joseph made haste and he sought where to weep, talking about the time when his brothers came looking for corn in the land of Egypt. And he knew who they were, but they didn't know who he was. And his mind flooded with all the memories of what happened there as a boy. And they put him in that pit. And they sold him to the Ishmaelites and all that had happened. And the Bible says he found a place to weep. And again, weeping because of sorrow, because of pain, because of hurt. And now David said in this verse, that's the kind of weeping he's talking about. And he said, this type of weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. David is in the mourning. Not M-O-U-R-N, mourning, M-O-R-N. He's in the mourning. He has a new house to live in and his kingdom is strong, but it hasn't always been like this. He wandered in the wilderness, hiding from King Saul, living in caves, dodging the soldiers that were on a mission to kill him. That was nighttime. That was weeping time for sure. But now, he's in the morning. And friend, that's how it is in the Christian life. Weeping may endure for a night, but thank God joy comes in the morning. Now, I was thinking about this scripture as I flew to Texas. I had just last weekend that was to speak at the Central Baptist Church there. And I was thinking about how many times I've sat on a plane on the tarmac at an airport. And there were heavy, dark clouds hanging very low in the sky. Rain was falling. Wind was blowing, maybe snow. Wind blowing. A distinct chill in the air because of the time of the year it would be. And it's just gray. And the plane rumbles down the runway and lifts off. And I was just thinking about, it was Saturday, was just one of those days. We were 2 hours late leaving O'Hare because of mechanical trouble. An hour and a half waiting in the terminal. And then we got on the plane and they came back and said, folks, we got another mechanical issue. And I'm beginning to think, is this plane even safe? And we waited another 30 minutes and got to Dallas late, which caused me to miss my connecting flight by 10 minutes. And I had to wait 4.5 hours to fly to Shreveport and then drive back. I left the house at 7:30 and got in to the motel at 10 minutes till 10 Saturday night. Coming into Shreveport, we were landing, and all of a sudden we just were coming into land. Next thing I know, man, people on that little plane, we didn't land. We didn't land. What's the matter? We're looking out the window and everything, you know. And we're all just, and we went out there, made a great big circle, probably took 20 minutes to come back around. And he had said, before we left Dallas, he said, now, First Officer so-and-so is going to take us over to Shreveport tonight. That's the co-pilot. And so when we finally did land, he came on the radio. He said, well, folks, the first time around, he said, we were coming into land, and we just felt we were a little too close to the airplane in front of us. So we decided to take another lap around. I looked at the guy sitting across the aisle from me, and I said, that's another way to say the co-pilot blew it. Amen. Oh, brother, give me four tires and a car any time of the day. Amen. My gracious. A jet plane rumbles down the runway and lifts off, and in a matter of seconds, after lifting off, it plunges into a thick cloud. You ever flown like that? And then after a while, that old plane breaks out into the bright, cloudless atmosphere, lit up with the clear, shining rays of the sun. And below you, it's like a blanket. It's like a blanket. You travel for 2 hours or more, or maybe less. Then the pilot comes on and says, we're going to begin our descent into whatever city it is. And that plane leaves the bright, lit sunlight of that blue, blue sky and comes back into that cloud cover. Plunges into the clouds and you're looking out the windows on the airplane and all you see is the clouds. And then before you know it, you come up underneath those clouds again. You're on the underside of the clouds again now. And the rain, the dark skies and the gray skies are back over and under and over and under and over and under. And that's a good picture of life. For a person. Good picture of life. I want to talk about three places tonight when it comes to the clouds. First of all, living under the clouds. Living under the clouds. Living under the clouds is where the rain is falling. Living under the clouds is where the color is gray. Living under the clouds is where the tears fall. Living under the clouds is where the heart is heavy. Living under the clouds is where the burdens are bearing down. And friend, David said, those times are for a night season. And he said, they may endure. In other words, that indicates those night times vary in length. Those night seasons, those times under the clouds, those gray, damp, dark, cloudy days, rainy days, those may endure. They vary in length. And some of the weeping seasons are brief. Some of the weeping seasons are long. And it's amazing how one little event can create weeping that comes at an instant over and over and over again. And I was Thursday evening, Brother Woodward and I left for Southern Illinois. We have not had the privilege of being together, hunting together. We used to hunt together every year. And we had a place down in Southern Illinois in Versailles, in Brown County, this year to go together. And we actually met Ben there. That's one of these reasons we went. He drove up from Oklahoma, and we hunted Friday. That's all we did was hunt Friday. And the weather was changing. It was getting cold. I was in the stand Friday afternoon, and the wind was, it was blowing so hard. I said, I ain't doing this. I got out of the tree stand, man. I thought, you know, these limbs were flying everywhere. Leaves, Hillary goes by on a broom. I thought, this man, I got to get out of here, man. I got to get off this tree stand. And so it's time to get down. And so I don't think everybody that was here this morning enjoyed the sermon. Some didn't make it through it. I don't know if you folks up here didn't know that, but some people didn't make it through this morning. But anyway, so what are you going to do? But we got to go. So, and Ben killed a deer. We were all praying, Lord, please give Ben a deer. We'd go home. Please give Ben a deer. And 30 minutes before dark, pow! And Brother Woodward texted me. He said, that was Ben. Sure enough, we got over there and he killed this little old stupid buck, you know, that needed to be killed. It's fine. It needed to be killed and taken out. So Brother Woodward and I were coming back home. We got a late start. I didn't get home till 1 in the morning Saturday. And we had not been together. We were just reminiscing about the years. Somehow we got on his dad and Leroy. And I loved Leroy. Leroy, you want to know why Brother Woodward is the way he is? Just, you should have known his dad, Leroy. And I went to see Leroy in the St. Joseph Hospital over here in Joliet two or three times when he toward the end before he died. And I said, Dan, we got to him. I said, do you ever miss him? does it ever hit you? Because I got both of my parents still. I said, does it ever hit you? And he said, man, he said, he just went, shoo. He said, this past summer, he said, I was out at Brother Coral's at the Shooters Expo. And he said, he goes there every summer and cooks for him. He said, I was there, and he said, my daughter Becca and her husband Micah were there, and they had some little boy from their church that they brought to the Shooters Expo just as a blessing to be to the little boy. And Becca, he was cooking, and Becca said to the little boy that was with her, said, say hello to Grandpa Woody, talking about Brother Dan Woodward. And Brother Woodward said, when he heard her say that, say hello to Grandpa Woody, he said, for an instant, he turned around and looked for his dad. Because that's what his kids called his dad, Grandpa Woody. He said it was so quick. It was so instinctive. It just happened so quick. And he said, I turned and I realized my dad's not here. And he said, I just lost it. He said, I just wept at the grill. And that's how it is. That's how things happen in this life. You know, little events have taken place in our life, and just a little reminder of that sorrow or that sadness brings the tears again. And those weeping seasons, they vary in length, and sometimes sometimes their seasons in life may endure for a long, long time. The loss of a child, a wasted life. We may live under the clouds for a long time. Weeping may endure for a night season. I was down in Texas, and I got a phone call from one of our members here with a broken heart. And talked on the phone, and right now the cause of that sorrow has not been resolved, and it's ongoing, and it has been for a couple of years now, and it may go on longer. You know, you wish you could fix things. You just wish you could fix things. You know what I'm saying? You have people you love, you have people you care for, and you wish that you could just, you know, push a few buttons, or maybe, you know, just go talk to one person and spend 15 minutes with them, and it would change. But you folks, it doesn't happen. Weeping may endure for a night. How long the nights seem when you can't sleep? Don't they pass by slowly? You look at the clock and you say, oh, good night. I remember when my mother-in-law went to heaven, my father-in-law said he couldn't sleep at night. He'd wake up and he'd say, you know, he felt like he'd been in bed for hours. It'd be midnight. Then he tried to toss and turn, look at the clock, it'd be 12:15. The minutes just stretch and stretch and stretch and stretch and stretch. And that's how it is in life when your heart's broken. when it's weeping time. It's living under the sun, living under the clouds, living under the clouds where it's gray, living under the clouds where it's rain, living under the clouds where it's dark, living under the clouds where the weather's under the clouds, weeping. David said, may endure for a night. I just want to say, if that's where you're living this evening, you just be careful. You just be careful. Don't grow bitter at God. Don't grow ugly at God. You always keep in mind that even though it may endure for a night, the next phrase says joy comes in the morning. So living under the clouds, then number two, living over the clouds. Joy comes in the morning. That's always a blessing when the cloudy, dark, rainy days give way to the bright and clear shining of a cloudless sky. Hannah's heart was sorrowful. Hannah's heart was heavy. Weeping was her portion year after year. And then the Lord came and lifted the clouds, and little Samuel was born, and joy came in the morning. Joseph labored in the dark, gray, damp prison house for 2 years. I wonder how long those days passed. I wonder how long it took for those days to go by. Day after day after day, forgotten by the butler until the door opened and he was escorted to the second seat in the kingdom. You see, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Israel lived under the clouds for 400 years with no revelation from God, not one word from the Lord for 400 years. That's longer than this country's been in existence. You and I can't comprehend 400 years. What do you know that's 400 years old? 400? 400 years. And then one day Gabriel suddenly appeared on the temple, at the temple there, to announce to Zechariah the coming of John the Baptist. And 6 months later, he came back again to announce to that little virgin girl over there the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ the Messiah. A weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Life's going to be lived under the clouds, but thank God it's not always lived under the cloud. Thank God that life is lived, in some cases, above the clouds. Joy comes in the morning. And what's good about this is, folks, that sooner or later we will be in eternal day where there will be no more night. None whatsoever. You know, it's amazing how some things stick in your memory and other things slip out. And I was putting these thoughts on paper and putting things together. I remembered years ago, a Sunday morning, years ago now, and I got a call from Larry. I think it was Larry. Maybe it was you that called me. Somebody called me on a Sunday morning. Was it Mother's Day? I thought it was. And I don't remember the whole conversation. I can't remember verbatim. Was it you that called me? And he said, we're down at the police station. Me and Gerald are down here. He said, Mom was murdered last night. Saturday night before Mother's Day. Mom was murdered. I don't remember when you called me, if it was between Sunday school and church or right before church. I don't remember exactly. But I remember after the service, I came down to the police station. I remember that. I remember walking in, seeing those two young boys there. On Mother's Day, their mom's murdered. I remember how my heart felt for them. We came to church that Sunday night, and the choir sang the song, No More Night. No More Night. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praises to the great I Am, we will live in the light of the risen Lamb. And I can remember the tears that flowed from my eyes and from the eyes of people who were singing in the choir as they realized we were singing about a time for the child of God when it's real, friend. There is no more night. There is no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more weeping and tears. And it was the night that as we were singing that song that his mother's life was taken. Living under the clouds, living above the clouds. Thank God, aren't you glad that we don't have to live life always under the clouds? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Living under the clouds, living above the clouds. But I have one more thought for you tonight. And that's living in the cloud. In the cloud. You see, there is a time when that plane is not under the clouds or over the clouds, but in it. Under there, it may be raining, it may be snowing, it may be blowing, it may be gray, but you can see. And if it's night or dark, you have artificial lights to help you see. If you're living over the clouds, no trouble. The bright, clear rays of the sun, cloudless sky, you can see forever. But in the clouds? You ever been on a plane in the clouds? You can't see. You know when the fog is so thick, your bright lights only make it worse? You click on your high beam so that you can see better, and you find out when you click on your high beams, you can't see as well as when you have your low beams. You have to slow down to a crawl, and sometimes we live life under the clouds, and sometimes we live life above the clouds, and church, sometimes we live life in the clouds. Clouds so thick, and clouds so close, and clouds so heavy, am I going up or am I going down? Am I ascending or am I descending? I don't know. I can't see. You know what you do then? You know what that pilot does? He flies by instrumentation. He lets those, and I'll have all the names of all those gauges that are on the dashboard of that plane, but there are instruments on the dashboard that tell him the altitude and his speed and his direction and his ascent or his descent. And he can't see a thing, and he flies by instruments. And the pilot has confidence in his instruments when he's flying in the clouds. And folks, when you're not living under the clouds or over the clouds, when you're living life in the clouds, there's an instrument that will keep you on track. There's an instrument that will keep you on track. That's a proven instrument. That's an accurate instrument. It'll give you your direction. It'll help you. Where you don't know up from down and down from up and out from in and in from out. You're not above the clouds. You're not under them. But you're in them. How do you keep your eyes? What do you mean by looking at the instrument? How do you keep your eyes? You keep your eyes on those instruments. And as you keep your eyes on the instrument that God has given us in His book, you're eventually keeping your eyes on God, because you remember that even though you can't see Him, He can see you. And you keep your eyes on God by keeping your eyes on God's book. Psalm 32:8, this is what He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. All we have to do is keep our eye on the instrument that's God's book. And as we keep our eye on the instrument that's God's book, we ultimately keep our eyes on God. And as we keep our eyes on God, He guides us with His eye. And as sure as we're in the clouds, we will be under them or over them. Not too far away. I'm speaking from kind of imperfect knowledge tonight. But I know there's some folks right now sitting in this room tonight in the clouds. We got folks living under the clouds. We do. We got folks living above the clouds in this room. And we got folks living in the cloud. In it. And I guess my heart goes out more to those living in it than under it. In it's a little fearful. In it's a little uncertainty. Just don't know for sure. Where am I going? Where's this thing all going to go? I just want to encourage you tonight. If you're in the cloud, under it, or above it, you keep your eye on God. If you're under it, hang in there. Joy comes in the morning. If you're above the clouds, enjoy it. Don't fall apart when you go under. And if you're in the cloud, above all people, if you're in the cloud tonight, you keep your eye on God. Keep your eye on God. Don't always have time to personally get a hold of folks and call people. So sometimes the Lord kind of puts a thought on my heart or a message on my heart. But I'm preaching for everybody, but there's a handful of people I really want to reach out to tonight. And just say, I know you're in the cloud. Just hang in there. Hang in there. It's the most difficult part, in my opinion. But you'll be all right. You keep your eye on the instrument. God will guide you with His eye. Under, over, or in. You're one of those three places in life. You're either under, over, or in. And God knows right where you are. Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight for simple thoughts. I hope simple thoughts that help people. I hope simple thoughts that encourage people. Simple thoughts, Lord, that might keep somebody going for another week on topside, even though they're in the clouds. And I pray tonight that You'll reach out to the heart that needs it the most. Lord, everybody in this room is living one of three places, either under the clouds, over the clouds, or in them. So I pray that tonight You will take the truth that we talked about. Thank You for this wonderful verse. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I pray that You will help Your people to be steady, no matter where they're living right now. Help them to be steady. Stay on course for You. Guide us with Your eye, Lord, when we can see nothing else in life. Guide us with Your eye as we look at Your book. Help us, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're either under, above, or in. God knows where you are. Don't forget that. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to use the altar tonight for a few minutes, it's open now. You come.